Father, we thank you for your goodness and your good spirit here today. And the people that have come, we bless your name. Now we pray, Lord, we're in more perilous times than we understand. And we need to, my job is to prepare the people and others too, so that we will stand and not be caught off guard by the seeming peace of our time. So help me to be clear and help each one here to be ready and able to digest what is said in Jesus' name. All right, Lloyd, I'll put up that first page, if you will. I may be on this for a couple of weeks, so that's why I'll take the trouble to change the format. Now, you notice, as usually happens, what Lloyd picks out for the CD. This is disgraceful. I know I'm not the best preacher in the world, but you should move toward the front. All these seats you're in. I was an organist once in a Lutheran church, and a big place, and a few people, and they'd sit on the back row. And the preacher would go on like there was nothing wrong. Well, it's ridiculous. If someone comes in and looks, they say, boy, that preacher must be hitting the people or stoning them or something. They're getting as far away as they can get. Well, thank you very much on behalf of the Lord and the four cherubim. All right. Boy, some of the people I haven't seen in a long time. Hi. They always sit way in the back. April, you're not glued to that chair, are you, back there? Now, some churches, you know, each person has a certain place that they sit every Sunday for 50 years. They never change. And I think when they die and go to heaven, they're going to be looking for their chair. Because they'll figure they can't serve the Lord unless they're in that chair. All right, now, this really fit in with the CD in the offertory. Four reasons why we must learn to live by the life of Jesus. Now, living by the life of Jesus may be a new thought to some of you. It certainly was to me. Now, when we get saved, we say, I give my life to Jesus, which is nice, you know, that's cute and all that. And I give my heart to Jesus, but they don't. That's just something that you say. Everybody's saying it, so you say it. But actually, if you'll analyze your week, you'll find there were few times that you gave anything to Jesus unless you needed something. I felt like telling Sarah the word for what we use is an automatic teller. We make Jesus an automatic teller. When you need something, you go and put your identification in. But that, you know, that's not good. And what Sarah said was very supportive of something I believe. We need to talk to the Lord. This morning when I woke up, he said, I hope you have a good day. That's what he said. And I said, you too. This, you know, getting to be a habit. And he said, I will. So, the Lord wants to be our friend more than we want to be his friend. You know, it's kind of, all right, Lord, you're in your place in the church. That's fine. And we'll support the pastor. But don't mess with what we're doing, for heaven's sake. Well, the Lord wants to be very into everything you do. And I mean everything. From the least to the greatest activity of your day, as you would measure least in activity, course, if you burn your fingers cooking beans, then it became a major activity. But ordinarily, we have a couple of hundred things we do, and then every once in a while, there's something really important. Like we decide whether we're going to buy a car or whatever, or run away from home. So the Lord wants to be in everything. Kabish, everything that you do, that you think, that you say. So that's impossible. What is this man talking about? I'll never come here again. He's crazy. Listen, you haven't ever tried it. Would you rather spend your time worrying and being angry at the president or something else? You could just as well be talking to Jesus. Now, he won't always answer you like he did Sarah. That is, Sarah, the next time people go out, they're going to expect to hear something. Well, you don't always. But the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And you know, when you say all, that's pretty near everyone. All your ways, acknowledge him. Well, he's not interested in my, you know, what kind of nail polish I buy. Oh, yes, he is. Because you see, that little bit there, that could have been a little action, a little interaction with him, which is what he enjoys. Smile, Tony. It looks like you're going to hear it anyway. You missed the chance of blessing the Lord. You just went there and looked at five different shades and picked out black and then went home. You could have talked to the Lord about that, see? And he will bless you. I guarantee you, if you'll take the time to give these little things to the Lord, he'll be so appreciative. Esther, I bet you didn't know that, did you? He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. Mike, what are you interested in?
I'm interested in a lot of things.
Yeah, well, name one.
Oceanography?
You think the Lord is interested in oceanography? You don't think so?
I don't think so, no.
Who do you think made the turtles and the whales and the starfish? Who do you think made those? Come on, Mike. Now let's be reasonable. God is interested in those killer whales at SeaWorld doing gymnastics. God is interested in them, and he knows them by name.
Yes, he does.
And he says there's not a sparrow falls to the ground. I think they have sparrows around here, don't they? They do in New England. I don't know if I've ever seen one. I probably do. But God knows where everyone is, the Bible says. Now, he is interested. If you're interested in oceanography, then pray that God will lead you to the right college, to the right job, to the right inspector. He hears every one of those prayers. See, we don't think so. AJ, you didn't know that? You looked at me like I was talking Hebrew. Listen, God made you. Yeah, he did. Not the doctor. God made you. And he's interested in you. And the Bible says he made you for his pleasure. That's kind of hard to get your brain around. He made you for his pleasure. He wants to take pleasure in you, and he can't when you're worshiping way off there. Oh, thou holy Trinity, deign to look down upon us today. Now, what kind of fellowship is that? He wants to get down in your business and talk to you. Do you know that?
Amen.
Jesus is my best friend. He has been for 70 years. My best friend. I don't know him as well as I'd like to, but I know him kind of. And I talk to him like a friend. And I'm not always asking him for something, Sarah. Most of the time, we're just talking about whatever I'm doing. Oh, Lord, this stupid pen didn't work. So I'll throw it in the basket. That's the way I talk. Because that's the way I would talk to a friend. Maybe I'll make some friends here for God. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. He knows your name already. He knows everything about you. He knows those crazy fantasies that you think that you would never utter because you think God would be embarrassed. He knows them all. And he's just waiting for you to say, Daddy, I really love you. I'm going forth today to do something, probably some of my stupid things. Help me. Yeah. And he cares just as much for you as he does for the Pope or me or any other person who pretends to be more holy than everybody else. He cares just as much for you. Isn't that neat? Well, I'll tell you what I want to talk. What happened to my first page there? Four reasons why we must learn to live by the life of Jesus. Okay. The first one is to remain in Christ during the great shaking. Now, you don't know most here will not know what I'm even talking about. So let's leave that one and go on to stand in the next one because it's on my mind. To stand in Christ in the coming judgment on America. Now, many of us did, got an email from Aunt Val Clarabad. That's close. Clarabad. Clebord. Try to pronounce that. Anyway, she sent us a 1973 prophecy of David Wilkerson. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as I can see, America's had two prophets. One is A.W. Tozer, and the other one is David Wilkerson. We felt real bad when he got killed because he was a voice in America like none other. And in 1973, he had a series of visions. I guess it must have lasted about 2 weeks. Constant visions of what would happen in America. He put out a book at that time called The Vision, and I expect it's still on Amazon. You probably can still get it. I didn't read it at the time. I did read The Cross and the Switchblade, but somehow The Vision never got past me. I never paid attention to it. But anyway, on this video, David Wilkerson himself tells of what happened in his visions about America. Well, there's a link to the video, and I have asked Leslie to be in charge. If you will write email mzf@cox.net. Now that's not difficult. MZF, it stands for Mount Zion Fellowship, mzf@cox.net. And all you have to do is put on it as one word, vision. And she will forward to you the link. And then you can click on that link and you can listen to David Wilkerson. And let me tell you, it's well worth listening to, because there's a lot of prophets out now who are telling us how wonderful everything is going to be, how we're all going to be apostles and prophets. It's called a prophetic movement. Now, here's the thing, Marla. It's the very opposite of what Wilkerson prophesied. It couldn't be more opposite. It's black and white. So we have to make a choice, Doug. Which of the prophets are we going to believe? Is God going to pour out his spirit in a whole bunch of people with no demands being made on them, mind you? God is just going to pour out his spirit on them, and they are going to be apostles and prophets, and they are going to occupy high places in all of various governmental levels, education, military, financial. He's going to salt all those. This is a big movement I'm talking about that's just getting off the ground. It's outstanding charismatic leaders are in it. The names, the big names in the charismatic movement are in it. And of course, they're attracting people by the thousands, because there's a lot of manifestations, people rolling on the floor and shaking their head and going through all kinds of things. And they're prophesying to themselves about how wonderful everything's going to be, and by God placing charismatic people in high places in the various governmental levels of the United States, we're going to bring in the kingdom of God before Jesus comes. Now, I already had a brother send to me a videotape of one of their preachers. And I listened to it, and I said, there's something wrong here. I'm not sure what it is. There's all the words. It kind of reminds me of what Jacob said to Esau. The voices, the hands are those of... It was Isaac, I guess. And Jacob had a conniving mother, and she said, put goat skins on your hands, and your father can't see very well, and he'll think it's Esau, who was the oldest. And so here comes Jacob in, and Jacob, and then Isaac said to him, who are you, my son? Esau, your firstborn. Give me the blessing of the firstborn. And so Jacob's reached out his hands, and he could feel the goat skin and on the back of his neck, and he said, I can smell the smell of my son. It is my very son Esau. And he gave Jacob, who was the second born, gave him the blessing that belongs to the firstborn. And so, see, his mother was a conniver. She is probably real pretty and all that, but she is a foxy quiller. Well, anyway, he pulled it off. And that's interesting, too, because Jacob, he was the one whose name was turned to Israel, in which we get the term Israelites today, and the land of Israel, all from this fraud. So after that, Esau came in, and Isaac said to him, who are you, my son? I am your oldest son, Esau. Give me the blessing. And so his father trembled, and he said, your younger brother has come and has taken away your blessing. And Esau cried and wept around and everything, and his dad gave him some kind of a blessing, but he didn't get the blessing of the firstborn, and he didn't get to be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. They say, why would God allow a thing like that? Well, I'll tell you, God is not like we think he is. And he's much more of a person than we think he is. We treat him like an equation, and he isn't. He's a person, and he has feelings, and he does things that are real hard to understand. Anyway, Jacob got away with it, and the result was the 12 tribes of Israel. But the thing I'm telling you about that is a statement that Isaac made. He said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And that's what's coming up today. The Bible calls it the false prophet. It's got the voice of Jesus, although they do not exalt Jesus. They talk about how great people are going to be. Very seldom do they mention Jesus, and never in the terms of intimacy with Jesus. If there's a Jesus, he's off here somewhere. You're going to be anointed. You're going to be a prophet. You're going to be an apostle. Well, think how this sounds to American people that like something for nothing. And so they're amassing, and you'll see more of it. This movement is going to go far past the prosperity and the other lies that have come forth. So that's what's in the land today. And we're going to have to be careful. The way of the Christian, the true way of the Christian, Doug, is a bloodstained way. It's a narrow way. It's not a, boy, we're the, you know, shine the spotlight on us. The charismatic people have arrived. That's all wrong. It's a lowly, cross-carrying way. The true Christian way. When you look at it, it looks like a narrow path. There's all thorns in it and wild animals, and it's just not something that you'd want. And out here is a broad way, and the new cars are whizzing along. And the people that are on that broad way are going to destruction. And the people that say, well, if it's the way of the cross, it's not popular, but if this is what Jesus wants, I'll go the narrow way. I'll go the way of the cross. And you'll find that the thorns won't scratch you and the animals won't bite you. And before you get through, it'll be like Pilgrim's Progress. You'll be looking at the glorious holy city and all the other people with all the big preachers and the big churches and the big talk and how wonderful everybody's going to be will fall off the cliff. Now, remember what I said. This is going to be a real issue in the days to come, because if you decide to go the narrow way, oh, I've got good news for you. You're going to be persecuted. Now, that brings me back to the things that David Wilkerson said, and I'll tell you, listening to it, it's like he said, it's the end of the world that's coming. It's that bad. It could not be worse. You need to hear it. It's the truth. Now you say, well, that's a pretty grim future for a young person. But as I told you about Jeremiah and Ebed-Melech and Baruch, God can save one person in the midst of calamity. And you can save yourself and your loved ones. But you're going to have to step into this, I say, new work. It's not new to the Bible, but it's new to us in Pentecost. This way of living, where everything you're doing, you're committing to the Lord. Everything. Everything you eat, every job you take, every course you take in college, everything you do at home, your choice of clothes, your choice of things. I notice that it's common now for women to be tattooed. I don't mean to ruffle anybody's feathers, okay? pet the cat in the wrong direction. Let me tell you something. The Bible says your body is the temple of God. You're going to put tattoos in the temple of God? Come on. And he says, if any man, the Bible says, if any person defile the temple of God, do you know the rest of the line? Four words. Him shall God destroy. Because your body is not your own. See, I thought it was my own. I was born with it. And it's mine. Your body belongs to God. It belongs to God. And it says, if any man join himself to a prostitute, he is joining Jesus to the prostitute. That's how important it is. So everything in your life, what you choose to watch on the television, movies. I wouldn't go to the movies. I used to go when I was young, but you know what you're doing? You're assembling with 300 or 400 people that are coughing and sneezing, and some of them have the flu. And you'll be fortunate if you get out of there without having the flu or something worse. Oh dear, if I can't go to the movies, what's the use of living? There's a lot of things you can do. Four reasons why we must learn to live by His life. It's so simple. You're deciding, should I go to the doctor or not? In Pentecost, doctors were the enemy in the Pentecostal, early Pentecostal movement. You didn't go to the doctor unless you were backslid. Well, I say, Lord, do you want me to go to the doctor or not? Simple as that. And He makes known to me whether I should or not, or if He's going to heal me. In fact, at my age, I'm really reckless about physical symptoms. I have a lot of them, and I figure, I don't have time to fuss with this. And anyway, I want to go to be with my friend Jesus. So, I'm kind of working a move back here. Maybe I'll die. Now, to stand in Christ in the coming judgment on America. Now, I've been preaching to you, I guess, for 10 years. Chaos is coming. Wait till you hear David Wilkerson. You'll say, boy, our preachers have backslid. He didn't tell us the truth. Just wait to be sure that you, I don't know, maybe we should play this in church or something, but people have got to hear this tape. And Leslie will send it to you, and you can click on it, and you can hear it for yourself. All right. Now, basically what he's talking about is evil in the government. Well, that's in 1973. And look at today. You know, I've been around for a while, and I have never heard the president and the Congress in open confrontation like this, calling each other names. I've never heard anything like that. Now, we're in a funny situation here in our country. That's all right. I'm not going to spend time on that, and I never do on politics. What is, God has told me that because of abortion and homosexuality and these kinds of things, He is going to bring our country down to a third-rate status. Well, I see this happening. We've got about 4 or 5 major problems right at this time. The immigration and Kuwait and Syria and Iraq and all at the same time. Just like Wilkerson said. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 4:6. These are reasons why you must learn to live by the life of Jesus. You can't go out of here and say, well, I'm a Pentecost, that's far enough. You're not going to make it. Is that 2 Timothy 4:6? I want where he's talking about the evil days. 2 Corinthians. Yes, that's it. 3:1. Starting with 3:1. That's it. I remember now. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. This is the Apostle Paul. And this is what David Wilkerson is saying, said in 1973. And then he was killed in a car accident. And the best prophetic voice in America was silenced. People will be lovers of themselves. Could they ever have pictured, in those days, selfies? People will be lovers of themselves so much they're taking snapshots of themselves. You know, people, it's kind of strange. It's just a little on the weird side. Get me a camera so I can take a picture of myself. Isn't that ridiculous? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Well, that's not true, is it? Lovers of money. I think Paul said a love of money is the root of all evil. You look in the paper sometimes at the things that happen that are terrible, you'll find almost always the basis is money. Somebody's making a buck on it. I swear they'd burn their own grandmother at the stake for money. Don't let it get a hold of you. They're telling us, the economists are saying, and have been saying for 2 or 3 years, it's going to crash, it's going to crash, buy gold, it's going to crash, buy gold, it's going to crash. Wilkerson said that the price of gold and silver is going to skyrocket. Well, all the investors are going to rush in to buy gold. That's all their life is. I saw a guy at he was on a vacation. We were, Audrey and I were on a vacation. He was in a motel. He was watching the stocks on the television. Oh, man, what a bondage. You go for a little rest, a little recreation, and watch the stocks on the television. It's a bondage. Money is a bondage. If my perception and experience is true, there will be no money used in heaven. It won't be used. Well, so how will you get what you want? Well, you go to somebody who produces it and they give it to you. Well, how do they get what they need? They go to somebody that does it and produces it. See, that was the communist dream. To every man according to his need. And from every man according to his ability. See, that's the communist dream. But you know why it doesn't work? Because of the sin in people. It won't work. Some guy will be hoarding everything. And the communists do that. The big leaders in communism have a special place in the road where they can travel and nobody else. This is the working man's paradise. It's such a lie. But capitalism has tremendous flaws in it. We get hugely rich people and then people with children with no food. So capitalism is not the answer. What is the answer then to the economy, to the economic process? What's the answer?
Jesus.
Living by the life of Jesus. And when you do, Jesus said, your Father will supply your needs. And people, that's just as sure as John 3:16. Either they're both wrong or they're both right. And I got to thinking about that. You know, we have two dogs. They're both Russian wolfhounds. Both of them are Russian wolfhounds. They sit on the back porch and they rush into the kitchen and they wolf down their food. And you know, it's been hot. And I'm very careful to make sure they have water. You know, two or three times a day I'm around checking. They've got three places where they drink. And I make sure that they've got water. And I think if I would do that for two mongrels, pardon me, they're not pedigreed at all. They're just good old sloppy hounds. And I'm so careful that they have water. What must it be like for those people made in his image? And Jesus said that very thing. You don't have to worry about what you eat or what you wear, because God takes care of the grass in the field. I don't know if you're much of a one for going into swamps at all, but when I was a boy, I used to like to go up to the neighborhood swamp and just kind of paddle around and get my shoes and socks filthy. But you should see the beautiful flowers that are there. Jack in the Pulpits. Have you ever seen a Jack in the Pulpit? Beautiful. And colors that no person ever put in a dress. And here, except for a wandering skunk or two, nobody sees these beautiful colors in a jack-in-the-box. I'm not talking about a restaurant. I'm talking about flowers. There's a flower called, not jack-in-the-box, jack-in-the-pulpit. I beg your pudding. Jack-in-the-pulpit. They're beautiful. Check it out on Google. Jack-in-the-pulpit. And God gave that flowers those beautiful colors that could hardly be matched. And that's what Jesus said. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so the whole rat race in money, which is a bondage, if there ever was, is not necessary. And I'm not an advocate of laziness. Never been accused of laziness. I've had one heart attack and an anxiety breakdown to prove it. But we don't have to worry that much about money, because money's liable to become worthless one of these days if all the big shot financier billionaires are, what they're saying is true, it is going to crash. Well, if it does, how are you going to eat? How are you going to pay your mortgage? Well, you go to God and you say, Lord, I love you, I'm serving you, I'm doing the best I can. I need food on the table for me and my kids. Yeah. Don't you think Jesus would answer that? You don't think so. If it isn't in the bank, it's no good. Well, even though you don't believe me, maybe, I'm telling you this because I think the day is going to come, and Wilkerson said it certainly shall, and people, Christians included, will be fighting themselves in lines to the bank and behaving like the priests of Baal, and people that know Jesus would just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to move? You want me to stay here? More than one missionary can tell you of how, I remember one, she went down the corner and bought some meat and brought it home, and people in her neighborhood said, where'd you get that? She said, the butcher shop in the corner. And they said, there's no butcher shop in the corner. That does happen. And God fed the Israelites wafers made with honey. They didn't know what it was, so they call it manna, which means, what is it? Wafers made with honey. Oh, I could live on that. I love that kind of stuff. Light and sweet. 40 years living on a supernatural diet. Remember that, because the day is coming, according to Wilkerson, and if there ever was a true prophet, it was David Wilkerson. And the other lesser prophets have said that. Famine is coming. Famine is coming. Worldwide famine is coming. Remember what I said. Like Jeremiah and even Melech and Baruch, God can, when Jerusalem was burning, God spared those three men because they trusted him. And God can do the same for you. So believe it or not, whether you have money in the bank or whether you don't, it's not determining whether you have food or can pay the mortgage or not. Just take my word as a trusted friend. That isn't where your livelihood comes from, although it may seem to. But according to the newspaper, this can all vanish in a short time. According to David Wilkerson, it can all vanish in a short time. So it's a good idea to talk to Jesus. And every time you have a meal, thank him. Don't just go through the motions. Thank you for my food, Lord. I appreciate it so much. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's look at Ephesians 6:13. What am I talking about? Four reasons why we must learn to live by the life of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. And which one of the four am I talking about?
To stand in Christ and become the judgment of America.
Judgment is coming to America. Believe it. Put on the whole full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. Now, what doctrine in our day has told us there'll be no day of evil for us?
Rapture.
The rapture. There'll be no day of evil. You preach this to Christian people, they say, okay, brother, I won't be here. I won't be here. It's a lie. There's no scriptural basis for carrying the saints to heaven to escape Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. There is no, this is made up. It's made up. But it serves Satan's purpose. It keeps God's people from learning to live by the life of Jesus. They're living like the life of a horse, eating, sleeping, working, playing, and reproducing, and hoping to be raptured. It's wrong. The proper name for rapture, the Greek term, is catching up. Rapture to us means a sudden thrill of some kind. But the Greek term is not rapture. It's catching up. And so then we need who is going to be caught up. And according to the Bible, the people that are caught up are God's first fruits. In other words, to be caught up, you must learn to live by the life of Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Exactly how do you do that? All through the day, you have opportunities to talk to Jesus. You're making many decisions, most minor, some great. And you do them in either two ways. You make that decision out of your own desires based on your experience and your knowledge. Or you make it before the Lord Jesus. And that is as simple, Marla, as it can be. You go to make a decision. I don't know whether I should buy Pepsi or 7-Up. Which should I buy? Okay. Well, you can do alternate, you know, plus and minus. This plus for this one, minus for this one, plus for this one, minus, and all that. Or you can say, Lord, lead me in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In thinking, you know, it takes, Paul says we have the mind of Christ. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of problems corralling my mind. It's the easiest thing for me to just sit and daydream or think about whatever pops into my brain. Some are pleasant, some are unpleasant. But to take hold of your mind and determine what I'm going to think about. What did the Apostle Paul say about that? Do you know? Colossians 3:1, what did he say? Set your affection on things above, where your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I said to the Lord, I can't set my mind on things above because I don't know what's above. How am I going to set my mind on it? So I asked the Lord, show me something above so I can fix my mind on it. Okay? Do you understand me? I said, I was supposed to fix my mind on things above. Show me something that's above so I can fix my mind on it. Well, what came to me was a place called Toonerville. You probably never heard of it. You're all youngsters. But there used to be a very popular comic strip called the Toonerville Trolley. And it was an old geezer, and he had an old ramshackle trolley and all kinds of crazy characters. You can find it on Google. Just look up Toonerville Trolley. You can even get a movie of it free on Google. Yeah, I looked it up. Although I can remember reading it when I was a boy. But I looked it up anyway, and there was a movie, and I sat and I had just a wonderful time watching this old geezer and Big Bertha, which is one of the characters. I mean, she was really big. Their motor went out, so she hung a big cloth on it and then blew on it, and it went the whole distance. This kind of stuff, you know, realistic. So, anyway, I like that. I like the Toonerville Trolley, all right? Our account in the church, you know, the money that comes in. Ever since I've been here, it's been a Toonerville Trolley. 1 month we're in the black, next month we're in the red, next month we're in the black, next month we're in the red. Yes? That's our church giving. So anyway, I said, Lord, show me Toonerville. See, that's a place. Tuner, there's a trolley, and then there's a place called Toonerville. And he showed me the most beautiful green area. It wasn't a meadow, it was grass and slopes and everything. And I said, oh, Lord, because I love nature. And so now I've got something to set my affection on. Toonerville. Oh, I'd love to be in there, maybe have a house and animals running around freely. Oh, boy, that'd be heaven to me. I don't need any mansions. Just Toonerville. Now, how's that? I'm not nuts, honestly. That's what I do. Well, it says set your affection on things above. You've got to be able something you can visualize, right? You can't just here say affection, 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 affection. So that's how you live, by the life of Jesus. And speaking by the life of Jesus, how many here talk before they think? Well, it's probably about a sixth of a congregation. Well, I'll tell you, if you want to save yourself a lot of apologies, having to apologize to people for what you said, ask the Lord before you trumpet it out your mouth. Ask God, will this build up the person? Is this a good thing that will increase the kingdom of Christ? Or is it just because I love to hear the sound of my voice? Huh? Can you meet that challenge? What do you think, Julianne? Do you think you could wait and think, now, Lord, should I say that? How should I say this that will benefit the person and not just vent my whatever? Anything wrong with that? Huh? That's called living by the life of Jesus. And the last thing is what you do. When you, all through the day, you're making decisions. Just keep up a running conversation. I know women will have no problem with that because they can talk wall to wall. They don't have any problem with keeping up a dialogue. Men, yes, they might. Some men might have a problem with that. But you just keep talking to the Lord just like Sarah said. Well, Lord, how about this? And the Lord answered her. Talk to her. You say, he won't talk to me. Have you ever tried it? You have to persist at it, Nathan. You have to keep at it. And then one day, voila, God said something. Oh, hallelujah, I'm talking to God. Four reasons why we must learn to live by the life of Jesus. To remain in Christ during the great shaking, and I haven't talked to you about that, I'll scare you to death when I do. To stand in Christ in the coming judgment on America, participate in the current acts of redemption, and to be gathered to Christ when he appears to the world. That is, if you hope to be caught up, you have to be living by the life of Jesus. He isn't going to catch up a bunch of Adamic creatures. Warning. Come on. Come on. Somebody somewhere said amen. Oh, three or four people. Okay, shall we stand? Now, I kept things kind of light for you. When you listen to David Wilkerson, you wonder why you were ever born. But people, we got to toughen up. It's coming. But he said that God gave him five words. What do you think they were? He says, God, he says, five words have brought me through. Right. God has everything under control. So no matter how dark it gets, who, what, they may elect Satan to be president of the United States. I don't know what they're going to do next. But God remains in control. Hallelujah. Say it with me. God remains in control. And so no matter what happens, we know who's pulling the strings up there. And they'll work for good if you're called of God. Amen. All right, now, somebody might need to come to the altar. I don't know. Lord, give us some liturgical music. If you need to come to the altar. Now, I didn't give an altar call last week. I should have, because a lot of people were suffering, I could see. But if you're afraid, and, you know, what am I going to do if my bank account suddenly means nothing? What am I going to do if there's no milk for the kids? What am I going to do if this happens and there's nothing, no help anywhere? Why don't you come to the altar and tell the Lord you'd like to talk to him. You'd like to learn to talk to Jesus. You'd like to learn to talk to Jesus. Lord, how many people here need to learn to talk to Jesus? Lord Jesus, how many people here need to learn to talk to Jesus? I can't tell whether he's saying 5 or 15. What do you think? He's either saying 5 or 15. I can't get it clear. Lord, how many people here need to learn how to talk to Jesus? Friend to friend, not a thing they have at the bank. It's friend of friend. What does the Lord say? What does the Lord say?